the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by.
Hello, welcome to Education Now. This is your host, Athena Melville. In this February 14th edition of Education Now, I welcome Dora Taylor and Rachel Ells as we focus on the ongoing Garfield teachers' boycott of the MAP tests. Dora Taylor is the parent of a student in the Seattle public school system. She is also an architect and educator. In response to school closures in the Seattle public school system, Dora Taylor and her co-editor, Sue Peters, started the blog Seattle Education 2010 to report on and analyze education issues and how they might affect public school education in Seattle, Washington. Dora is also a charter member of Parents Across America, a public education advocacy organization, and founded a local and statewide chapter as well of Parents Across America. Rachel Ells is one of the courageous teachers at Garfield High School, and she is part of the group of teachers refusing to administer the MAP test. Rachel has been teaching for 11 years. In the interview with Rachel, I said she had been teaching for more than 11 years, so I wanted to clarify that right at the beginning. I'll be back after the interviews for some contact information and some updates on the ongoing battle in Seattle, where many, many teachers and unions across the nation are supporting the Seattle teachers' MAP boycott. So let's go to the interview. Hello, Dora Taylor. Welcome to Education Now.
Thank you.
Well, I've told the listeners about the Seattle teachers at Garfield High School and their continuing boycott of the MAP test in the introduction. Could you please tell us about the action alert from Seattle Education 2010? About the supervisors forcing teachers to give the MAP test yesterday?
Sure.
Which would have been, for our listeners, that would have been Tuesday, February 5th. I'm recording this with Dora on Wednesday, February 6th.
That's right. What we like to do on our blog many times is to provide our readers with exactly what's going on that day, or what has happened the day before. Anyway, I had received word the day before the superintendent had sent out a robocall to the administrators at Garfield High School, letting them know that the next day they had to give the MAP test to the students at Garfield High School. This was not expected at all or planned, because they had up until through the end of the month to give the test to the students. So it was quite a surprise for everyone. And I think situation was that the superintendent didn't want there'd be enough time for parents to write the notes to request that their students be opted out of the test.
So that the supervisor did this in this fashion, it didn't seem like there would be any other reason for him to do it than to prevent parents from being able to opt out.
Exactly. As it turned out, there were at least 200 notes that were sent with the students to school that next morning. And it was also the understanding of the students that they didn't have to have the notes, they just had to have a verbal from their parents saying that they could opt out. So that was the action that the students took. The majority of students, as it turned out, did not opted out of taking the test. Many of them just sat in silence, the administrators went to the classroom, and told the students that they had to go to the library or to the computer labs to take the NAT test. And others who felt compelled to go to the library or to the computer lab sat there and either refused to touch any of the buttons. The others have said that what they did was they completed the math test in 15 minutes by responding randomly to the question.
By responding randomly to the questions. Could you speak up a little louder, Dora? Your voice seems to be fading out as we're discussing, and you're not on a speakerphone, are you?
No, I'm on my cell phone.
Okay, great. So sometimes there can be problems if you waggle your head about or anything with a cell phone. So if you could try to stay in one position, I'm sorry, but I'm looking at our levels here. I want our listeners to know I'm looking at our level as I'm recording this interview, and I just want to be sure that they hear what you're saying. And so students who opted out just sat in the classroom and with their hands folded and just did not fill out the form because there wasn't time for their parents to do the opt-out forms. And their parents weren't notified in time. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. Some of them actually were able to call home and get what they did was they got their parents on the line, and their parents spoke to the test administrator and told them that they were opting their students out. So the ones who did not come to school with a note could still give a verbal from their parents. The ones who couldn't get a verbal from their parents where they just weren't able to be reached, they just simply sat in front of the computer and gave random answers.
Yes.
To validate the test.
Yes, I have spoken to a teacher at Garfield High School that you had given me contact information to, Rachel Ells, and I spoke with her yesterday and recorded a short interview, which I'm going to include in this edition of Education Now, and because she gave immediate feedback to what had happened yesterday. So I thank you so very much for leading me to Rachel Ells, who's been teaching there at Garfield High School, and getting her immediate feedback. And I could tell, that these teachers that are taking a stand, they now have to fear retribution from the district.
Well, at this point, at least they will not, before the superintendent had threatened that they would not be paid for 10 days, but at this point it's a verbal understanding that that will not happen.
The Seattle teachers maintained the MAP boycott, and then the district was forced to back down because they had threatened suspension. They had rescinded their verbal suspension threat. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's not on paper yet, but that is the understanding that they have with the superintendent at this time.
Okay. Wow. It's just so important what's happening, and I'm just, as I told Rachel, I'm just so proud of those teachers, and I'm so proud of the parents who are supporting those teachers, empowering the parents to support the teachers so that we keep the kids in the center is just so very important. Well, Dora, I also love Parents Across America. I love that organization because it's connecting parents all across the country and teachers all across the country. It's so that they can all be supportive of a system that supports the whole child. But there are so many pretenders or organization. There are so many pretend organizations out there that say they are supporting the teachers and the parents. And so it's very confusing. And I had told Rachel that I was hopeful that the unions and the teachers would put out a message about which organizations, like Parents Across America, are really supportive of the teachers and keeping the students in the center, and not this Teach for America and this, you know, the standardization, which is just antithetical to the whole child.
I know. So a lot of those groups, we call them faux roots or fake roots or astroturf groups.
Yeah.
That are basically just fronts. They're not really organizations. Most of those groups don't have memberships. So, for instance, Stanford Children and the League of Education Voters, they don't have members, although they act like they represent a large membership. It's just simply people in an office, maybe just a few people, and they have a lot of, they raise a lot of money, and unfortunately, most of the money comes from donors who have a specific agenda, and that agenda is privatizing everything that has to do with public education, from standardized testing to schools to creating a non-union teaching force to the test, to the textbooks.
Yes.
To even privatizing the transportation system and the janitorial staff.
Yes, I know. It's just so horrible what's happening in education, in public education right now. And it's just so important that parents stand up and say these are not the state's children, and that they make the bond with those teachers that are taking a stand so that we can take public education back, you know, so that it's really serving the children and the parents in this nation and not serving corporations. I read recently that the Waltons are big supporters of privatization of public education. Now, what do the Waltons know about public education? Since when do they have any degrees in child growth and development?
I know, they have no understanding of it, and no, really, truly no concern about anyone else's children. That's, I think, as a parent in terms of how they do business. And same with Bill Gates.
Yes, the Gates Foundation, oh my goodness.
Yeah, and the Koch brothers, and Jeb Bush, all these people who are really just, for whatever reason, want to destroy what's left of our public school system.
Well, for me, it's all about segregation. And, you know, there was always the desire that the children of of people of color not receiving education. And Jim Crow is raising his head again in this fashion. And, many of these kids are, there's a pipeline into the prison system for many of these children who live in poverty and many of these children of color. And they're all connected. And the Bushes, I mean, I have known for years, and most people in media have known for years, that the textbook companies, McGraw-Hill, etc., are connected, the testing companies are just branches of these textbook companies. These textbooks, which do not even talk about global warming. They do not even talk about the environment. They lack in the people's history. And yet people are supposed to use them in the classroom. When we have the computer, we can go to the original sources for this information. We don't really need those textbooks. I realize that I may sound fairly radical, but we need to be radical in order to face what's happening in this country. It's also the Bushes are very good friends and have been for years with the McGraw-Hills and these people. And so it's not surprising to me. How else could they create a slave class? Noam Chomsky talks a lot about after the 60s when students were out there protesting and education, especially here in California, was basically free. And California was second only to New York in quality of education. And university and college was free to any resident of California. Well, they wanted to do away with that. They wanted to make it, that's when student loans happened. That's when you had to start paying to go to school, because if people were in debt and they had to pay back loans, they didn't have time to demonstrate. They didn't have time to protest. Listen to Noam Chomsky, and he connects the dots for you, you realize what has been happening in public education and how depressing it is to go from a business model, something that is an extension of the family. Education is an extension of the family. And yet we've gone to this business model. And they did it, the people bit into it. I mean, people in this country bit into it. Of course, the media, these same forces control our media. And so we just have to do it ourselves. I'm sorry to go on and on, but I'm pretty passionate about these issues.
I understand, as I am.
Yes, I know.
And all the members of Parents Across America.
Yes, and that organization is growing and doing well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It seems that just every week we get two or three new chapters around the country. People are calling us or emailing us and saying that they want to be part of this and join and start chapters in their part of the world. And we're glad to have them on board.
Oh, yeah. I especially enjoyed the article from Parents Across America titled Seattle Public School Teachers Actions at Garfield Against Excessive Testing, that the support is coming from teachers across America. And it's thrilling that Parents Across America are opting out of the testing and speaking out on behalf of their children. I just I'm so delighted that you're there and so excited. I'll be sure to add the web address for Parents Across America to the conclusion of this edition, but I'm going to give it out now, and so be sure you can be sure I'm doing it right. It's the typical HTTP with a double slash, parentsacrossamerica.org. There's no three W's. Is that right?
That's correct.
And the web address for Seattle Education 2010 is the HTTPs with a double slashes, and then Seattle Education 2010 www.wordpress.com. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I will give it out at the outro, the conclusion of the show as well, but I wanted to be sure it was in the body, and I wanted confirmation from you that I was giving out the right addresses. And once again, I thank you for leading me to Garfield High School teacher Rachel Ells. I'm going to be launching this particular interview on Valentine's Day, Thursday the 14th. And I'm also keeping persons updated on the Garfield High School boycott on the Education Now Facebook page and our Google Plus page. And if you come across anything, I know there's going to be a wine bar on the 10th, and so this interview will not be going out until after that wine bar has concluded. But I think it's very exciting that that's happening. And I know that today, Wear a Red for Public Education sent out a notice asking everyone to wear red in support of the Seattle High School boycott.
Every Wednesday, we're asking everyone to do something in support, not only of the teachers in Seattle, but also in support of opting out of standardized testing.
Yeah.
Whether, wearing red for public ed, or sending a note to our school board, or doing something locally in their own town or city or district, in terms of informing other students, parents, teachers about what's going on, about standardized testing, about the money that's spent on it and wasted on it, the time and resources that are wasted, and what we can do instead of spending so much time and money on standardized testing.
Oh, yes. If we didn't spend all those billions on standardized testing, I'm very happy that Governor Brown here in California is not an advocate for testing. I am so thrilled there is hope here again in California. And they spend billions on that testing. And if they spend that money on the students, when I think of the arts that have been cut out, I mean, the arts, which is, this is where you go in order to express yourself. You talk about violence. I mean, this is the place. This is, we've known this for such a long, long time, that the arts are the container for all of this repression. And so, that having the arts cut out is just criminal. And cutting physical activity, cutting recess, movement and brain growth are integrally connected. You will not find one person in child growth and development that would support the cutting of physical education and movement, not only in the classroom, but going outside. And so this is huge, and I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to keep it in the public eye. And I'm so happy, as I told Rachel, that Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Took it up, because she has a huge audience, and we just need to keep it in the forefront. That's what she was saying, and that's what you're saying, that the best thing that our listeners can do is keep this issue in the forefront. Is that right?
Well, that's absolutely correct. The irony of when our superintendent, our previous superintendent, brought the MAP test to Seattle, and it cost so much money. At the same time, we were having to let go our librarians and our counselors. And we need our librarians to keep, not only to keep the libraries open, but to keep them functioning, to make sure that there's someone available to answer questions when the students have a question about everything from maybe a book to even how to use a computer in the library. We need our counselors, not only to help our students in terms of getting them into college or into a career, but also the counselors that help the children who need additional support. And yet at the same time, this superintendent, who we understood later had her own agenda, which had to do with privatization through the Broad Foundation, was insistent upon us spending millions of dollars on this math test. And it just doesn't make any sense, as you said, to lose the trade, what is truly important for children to have, for a standardized test that is costly in terms of time and resources.
And really devastating to the children. I mean, they need to be taught how to think on their own. They need to be in dialogue. They need to know how to formulate their own questions. They need to know how to find their own answers. And especially in high school. Well, in the lower grades, I mean, the idea that they're testing kindergartners just drives me insane. But in high school, when children should be taking responsibility and teaching one another, to know that they're sitting in these in taking these stupid tests that tell you nothing. The statistics say that the best indicator of how well a child will do in school and in life is a teacher's recommendation, not a test. Okay. That research has been out there since 1980. You see, so I am so angry at the media because they too have not had experts on. They too have not asked teachers on, not nearly enough. They have celebrity on and business people like the Gates. And so we have to do it, and we're going to do it. And, you know, I'm just so glad that you're there, and I thank you so very much. Is your child still a student in the Seattle schools?
No, she graduated a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
Yes, she went to a wonderful school here in Seattle called Nova High School, which is a project-based, it's an alternative public school.
Right.
We call them alternatives here, but it's more meaning progressive. And she had a wonderful experience, and no, there wasn't any standardized testing at the school at the time.
Right.
And that was very, very good education for her.
My granddaughters go to public school in the Palo Alto area, and of course, there are wonderful schools there. But they never bought into Proposition 13, which took the money away from public education. They, in that area, they said no to that. And of course, that just, when that happened under Reagan, then that just spread all over the rest of the country. And so for children who are affluent, I have a feeling that they're going to be okay, even in these struggles. They're resilient. But it's really the children of color and the children who live in poverty and who are suffering so much and really need the help. And, of course, it's reaching the middle class now, which is, I think, why we're hearing more screaming about it. But I really think that the libraries, as you were talking about, I know that Stephen Krashen has research that proves that if the higher test scores are in those areas where they have the most books. And in many of these areas, they don't have any libraries. And they don't have any books. And so libraries are just essential. And the librarian is just a wonderful resource for students. Everything that is really valuable in education is being taken away by people who know nothing about education. And I'm just so happy that we're here struggling and we're going to make a difference. As in Opt Out International is having a rally sometime very soon. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'll send you some information on that. I know that Opt Out International is working very hard. They're out of Denver, to get parents to realize that they have the power to opt out. So many parents don't know that they have the opportunity to opt out, as I told Rachel. And she was aware. Teachers were, many of them, not allowed to tell parents that they had a choice about their children being tested because, of course, they receive money for the testing. And so you had to know, you had to be a parent that went like, well, I don't want them tested, you know, and then go to the school and say, I don't want my child tested, because the teachers were told not to tell. And I'm happy too that I think that the unions are taking a stronger stand on these issues. Have you found that to be true?
Yes, they are. I think they're finally standing that they have to stand up for themselves, that the union leaders aren't going to do it for them, take care of them.
Right.
Yes. They're finally understanding that they're in a real precarious position, and they have to pick up the reins at this point.
Yes, they do.
Except for, with some rare exceptions, like Karen Lewis in Chicago, but most union leaders are not leading.
Yeah, the Chicago Teachers Union, the Chicago Teachers Union is fantastic. I'm just so proud of them, too. I just am so happy with their actions this year. Late last year. It's just wonderful, and I think it's still going on. They are continuing the struggle. And there are other teachers' unions out there that are working hard, and I'm proud of them too. Well, I will do everything I can to keep this in the forefront, and on February 28th, I'm going to be posting a podcast with Anthony Cody, who led me to you, and I'm very grateful to him for that, and with Nancy Flanagan, and we're going to focus on the Garfield High School teachers' actions and debate that issue and the country of teachers' response to it, as well as the federal position is on public education, what they keep projecting out there about teachers. I mean, from my perspective, they're not projecting anything very wonderful. And I just do not understand it. And so we will have it as a focus again at the end of the month, because it is just so important what's happening at Garfield High School and this boycott. And I'm just so grateful to you for your work, and I'm so grateful to you for children across America. I mean, parents across America. What did I say it wrong? Parents. Parents across America, that's right. There is also one that Michelle Rhea has started. Do you remember the name of that one?
Students First. Organization.
Yeah, Students First. And I would go to these sites and I would try to find out, you know, who they were and who had started these, because that was the only way, you know, that I could really tell what was going on with these organizations. And of course then you see the connections there, and you see also I'm just so sad about Teach for America, the idea that persons who are not really committed to teaching but just kind of want a summer job or a job for a while, you know, it's just very depressing.
Yes, it is. And, it's basically just something they can put on their resume before they move on. need to go to law school or grad school or, you know, find a job in this tough economy. But there's no, for the most part, there's no, they have no reason to want to stay in it and make a commitment to a school or a community. They're just passing through, which just simply creates more churn in it.
Right.
And usually in a school environment that's already, you know, suffering from high turnover.
Yes, yes. When you said your daughter went to an alternative public school, was it a charter?
No. It's interesting. In Seattle, there in the early 60s, there was a movement in terms of parents establishing schools, very similar to the idea of a charter school. But this was, grassroots, and it had oversight just like any other public school by the school board and the state. And, in fact, the state has a special department for ALA, for alternative school oversight. And these schools, the very first one was ASC, AS1, Alternative School Number 1. And it did have a charter with the city with an understanding in terms of what would be provided to the students. And it took off. They were very popular. So then by 2010, there were at least 8 or 10 alternative schools here in Seattle. Many of them were kindergarten through eighth grade. Two alternative schools, Center High School and Nova High School, and basically run by consensus, student-oriented, project-based learning, where the school community came together and made decisions. So, for instance, at Nova High School, the students are very much a part of the decision-making process, from who comes to the school and teaches to how the budget is spent. The principal still, you know, ultimately have to make certain decisions, but it is very much a student-oriented school. And it helps students, especially in high school, learn how to maneuver themselves through the real world later on, because they have to take responsibility. At that point, the parents in the high school, such as Nova, are expected to step back and allow their students to learn how to make decisions and choices on their own, and also learn how to meet those commitments. It isn't for all students, but for a student who's self-motivated or thinks outside the box, you know, doesn't quite fit in or want to fit in to a traditional school, it's perfect.
Yes, it sounds wonderful. And there was a person who started a public Montessori school in the San Francisco Bay Area, much the same situation. And then there are some just wonderful charters in my area and in other parts of California that have been started by concerned parents and teachers. But they are not these chain charter schools.
Right.
That the Gates and those are setting up. And so I like to make a distinction, because it's important that a distinction is made. I know it's very difficult, because these chain charter schools are doing such damage.
They are. Well, for instance, here it's, I call them alternative schools. Now they call them option schools. And the main difference, if you were just kind of on an outsider and you didn't understand, is that our schools that are alternative schools still have public oversight. They use public dollars. They have public oversight. These charter schools, these charter chains like KIPP and all these different academies, they don't want to have public oversight at all. Terms of how they run their schools and how the money is spent. And that's when you start getting a lot of graft and fraud, which you see a lot of in these schools. And you see these people that call themselves CEOs rather than principals start making, you know, six-figure salaries. That is the main difference between the schools. But then you also, everything is standardized in these KIPP schools, for instance. An alternative school that I'm talking about is student-oriented, meaning that each student has their own study plan. They work in smaller groups, smaller class sizes. They have their student projects that they work on. They're very oriented on an individual basis towards that student. Whereas in a KIPP, everyone's in a uniform. All the curriculum is standardized. The testing is standardized. So it's a very different approach. But I'd say basically lack of oversight is the first red flag in terms of these KIPP-style schools.
Yes, lack of oversight. And for me, just that it's a chain school. In other words,
it's a franchise, really.
A franchise, right. That's the first indicator for me that it's just really not an alternative that is concerned about keeping the child in the center.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly am not anti-technology or anti-STEM science.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Well, if there's anything else that you want to be sure that our listeners hear, say it now.
Well, I'd just like to say that anyone who is a student, parent, or teacher, come on over to the Seattle Education site. I worked very hard on a list of articles that you'll find on the left-hand side of the page on high-stakes testing and opting out. It's in a tab. And if you open that up, you'll see the first five links are five parts to a full set of articles that I wrote on high-stakes testing and opting out. I'll give you a background on the history of the testing, the types of tests, the variables, the consequences, and the pushback. And that will give you a good introduction to this type of standardized testing. And then start looking in your own districts. See if there is standardized testing. If so, find out how much it costs. Is it really necessary? Start questioning. And I'd say just inform yourself and make sure that you're not wasting tax dollars and your students' energy on unnecessary testing.
Yeah. I think this can be done with local control.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It should be. There's no reason that a politician should be determining education policy.
Right. Because as someone told me, the state really controls the money. The money from the federal government comes through the state, but the state is in charge of that money. I mean, they may not get some kind of special awards for going fast enough from the federal government if they don't do certain things, but really the state is in control, not the federal government. And perhaps the federal government wants to be in control, and I don't know about that. That's another interesting issue. But I do know that there's a lot of political impetus into destroying the unions and defaming teachers and the teaching profession. And I think that's criminal. Well, I certainly do hope people will visit the blog Seattle Education 2010. It's a wonderful blog. I really enjoyed it very much, and I will be sure it will be part of the promotion that goes out on this announcing this show as well, Dora.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks to you. And thank you so very much for your time. I'm going to enjoy listening to make sure that your voice comes out loud enough. That's my chief concern right now at this very moment, is that we can hear you on the recording. But I thank you so much for your time and all of your work. I love the publication. I love Parents Across America. I'm just so happy that it's there, and I'm just so happy to have found the blog, Seattle Education. It really is wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'll say goodbye now.
Okay.
And I'll talk to you soon, and you'll hear from me via email very shortly.
Okay, wonderful. And thank you for having me.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Bye now, Dora.
Bye.
And now we will go to our interview with Rachel Ailes, one of the brave teachers at Garfield High School in Seattle who are boycotting the MAP tests. Welcome to Education Now, Rachel.
Thank you, Athena, for having me on.
Oh, it's my great pleasure. I was given your contact information by Dora Taylor. Dora told me that you'd had quite a big day today at Garfield High School.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering if, you know, we could start there.
Okay. Well, as you probably know, we've been in the midst of a boycott for some time. It began really a few years ago with people from the district, teachers trying to communicate with the district about concerns with this particular test, the MAP test. And they... We had some hope about a week ago when the superintendent met with a group of representatives from our school, but we learned yesterday that the testing would move forward and the administrators in our school would be giving the test to the students. And starting this morning, the library and all computer labs would be closed for all of their purposes. Teachers signed up to use the classes or the computer labs today would not have access to them, and the administrators would be coming around to our classes to pull students out to take the test. And that was startling news yesterday, and news continued to shift through the day today as the definitions of what students needed to do to opt out seemed to become stricter as the day went on. I think it perhaps in response to the number of students and parents who did not want their students taking the test. And as what I've heard is that directives from the district offices kept coming to Garfield today and putting intense pressure on administrators to have as many students as possible tested.
Now, I don't understand why, if a parent wants to opt their child out of the test,
yes,
the state of Seattle should have any authority whatsoever.
Right. So I think that had, you know, some of that was communication because of this swift change. I heard from families today that they hadn't sent in an opt-out form because the teachers, they've sent their support of the teachers boycotting the test and didn't think it would be happening. And so they were thrown off by now this quick turn of events. And so students telling me during the day, oh, my parents want to opt me out, but they hadn't because they didn't realize this was happening now. Parents, you know, trying to, and then there was some complication about whether a parent's request had to be submitted in writing before the time of the test, which under normal circumstances I would understand, but this certainly wasn't normal circumstances, so the parents didn't have a normal warning to let the school know.
Yes, that's a breach of trust.
Yes,
that the parents have in the public education system that is supposed to be putting their child's in the center.
Right.
You know, I mean, if we're going to look at all of the research on child growth and development, and we're going to keep the child in the center, which is the only way that you can really do it if you really claim to be doing education and not indoctrination, then, you know, you have to ask the parents. And I know that for a long time, parents weren't even told they had a choice in this matter because it was tied to money.
Mm-hmm.
And which is so very sad, because then that means that you have to know that, you know, you have the power. And of course, these are not the state's children.
Right.
So, and I understand that the tests can be helpful if a teacher wants to use them, but that should come from the teacher.
Yes, and I would question that some. So, you know, for the last 2 years I've taught high school, but before that I taught middle school, and as a middle school teacher, I did try extensively to use the information I got from the test, and the more I really tried to understand the data, I found many frustrations, so that it really didn't help me as I'd hoped, even when I, as a teacher, tried to use it. Uh-huh. And that's one of the issues with this particular test, is that we find it not to be a test that's relevant or meaningful for a student and really for teachers to use.
Yeah, I've known that for a very long time. Those testing companies are tied to the same people who write the textbooks,
right,
that haven't been putting in anything about the environment and global warming. And I mean, it's just so depressing.
Yes.
I am just so proud of you and all of the teachers in Seattle.
Thank you.
For this action, really. It's wonderful.
Thank you. We're very hopeful that we can, very hopeful me. Be slightly inaccurate today. But we still hold some hope that we can find a way to collaborate and work together, and certainly we will not give up from our desire to put students first, which sadly the district offices, the administrators in their central level are not seeming to prioritize our students, which is a tragedy.
Right. Well, the parents can turn this around take charge and keep it local. And I know that it's growing. I read an article, and you were in the article, Teachers Test Boycott Draws Growing Support. It was in the Seattle Sun-Times on the 21st of January. And I just, you know, I also keep in touch with other teachers through, you know, other groups. And there's just such incredible support for what you're doing, and some people like me are asking, why did it take so long? I guess we were all hoping that the unions would take up the battle, or at least I was, and I hear from some people that the unions are starting to do that.
Yes.
Which is about time.
Yes, and I think that I agree with you both that it's about time, and I would agree that it's starting to happen.
Oh, great. That's so good. Well, I'm so glad that you're there and that you are being strong, and that you have the support of the parents. And if there's anything that you feel that my, other members of, you know, not just the Seattle area, but other teachers and people who have concern about education that could do to give support, please tell us what it could be.
Thank you. And I think that right now one of the pieces we feel is we need to keep attention on the issue, because it's certainly not done. The testing comes up again in the spring, and there's also some word that people in the district offices are doing a bit of headhunting, looking for certain individuals to really target in the situation, which would be a complete injustice. And we have to keep them accountable by keeping it in the public eye.
Yes. Yes, that is that's the truth. I was so glad that Amy Goodman in Democracy Now! Took up the issue. I just, you know, I threw her a million kisses for that. and because that's what we need. We need that kind of a microphone to get the word out there. And especially, I think, for people who are living in poverty and people of color, I want to be sure that they know that they have the power to to not allow their children to be treated as tests for something that is just killer of the human spirit.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the other really important issues is that we need to be very strategic in how we reach out to all families in our community to help them to be educated, and the more that can come from various voices, like I think it's wonderful for Dora's involvement, that we as teachers, I'm working hard to be careful about what I say or share in the classroom because this is not the topic of my instruction. And so making sure families and students are informed by others is very important.
Yeah. Well, I know that Parents Across America, which is an organization that parents can join to lend each other support and get ideas for what's going on. And I'm so excited that there's that way to connect for parents, for teachers, and supporting what's right for kids and for keeping the child in the center. But there's so many other pretend organizations out there.
Right. Yes, and that's unfortunately very misleading. I think with many parents, it's hard to find the right path of which organizations to trust.
Right. Well, I sure hope that the unions take that up as well. That would be awesome if, you know, if teachers were telling parents, these are the organizations that you can count on, that we support.
Yes, that would be very good.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Well, thank you so much for this time.
Well, thank you, Athena. Thank you for sharing this message.
Oh, it's my great pleasure. Good night.
Good night.
And have a good day tomorrow.
Thank you. You too.
Bye now. I thank Dora Taylor and Rachel L. so very much for their time. I recorded Dora on February 6th, and I recorded the interview with Rachel on February 5th, and it was on February 5th that the uncalled-for action happened in at the Seattle High School, Garfield High School, which we talk about in the interview. Well, again, I thank them both so very much for their time and all the energy that they put in to this interview. Rachel is so courageous, and Dora has been working so hard for public schools in Seattle and really for public school in general with Parents Across America and with her website, Seattle Education. Seattle Education's web address is seattleeducation2010.wordpress.com, no three W's, or you could just Google Seattle Education and I'm sure it would come up. Her Parents Across America website is parentsacrossamerica.org. Once again, no three W's, just parentsacrossamerica.org, or just Google Parents Across America and it will come up. Referenced in this podcast was an action alert, Seattle Soups forcing teachers to give MAP test today. Please sign the petition to cancel the MAP test in Seattle. And that was an alert from seattleeducation2010.wordpress.com on February 5th, on the day that I recorded Rachel. Then there is another one referenced in the interview. Seattle teachers maintain MAP boycott, district forced to back down, suspension threat verbally rescinded, and that is also seattleeducation2010.wordpress.com, and that was published on the same day, the 5th of February, 2013. If you go to the Seattle Education website, you will see many updates to what's happening with the Seattle, with the Garfield High School teachers and this action they have taken against the MAP tests and opting out, and
and will keep you informed. You can also go to the Education Now Facebook page or the Education Now Google Plus page, and you'll see some updates there, and you can also join the conversation and leave comments for me or for Rachel or for Dora there. Education Now is a production of the Hermeneutic Institute for Holistic Health and Education. Education Now podcasts are listed on the American Montessori Society website at www.ams.org in the local events pages, or you could just Google American Montessori Society and it would come up for you. On February 28th, Thursday, February 28th, Education Now will welcome Teacher in a Strange Land host Nancy Flanagan and Living in Dialogue host Anthony Cody for a roundtable discussion on the teaching profession and education reform. Please join us then. We do not want this topic we want to keep this topic right in the forefront of the community, of the education community, and the community at large. We need to keep this action that's happening in Seattle with the Garfield High School teachers' actions, and I know that the Chicago Teachers Union is supporting them, and so many other teachers unions are supporting them, as well as teachers and parents from across the nation. Thank you and good night for now. Sending you all much cosmic love until the next time. This is Athena Melville.
You are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know.